Oh, church family, it's my desire to really encourage somebody today. Does anybody need encouraged today? It's my desire. It's my ambition. I believe it's a part of the anointing that God has given me for today, that you are going to be encouraged. And the way that I want you encouraged is the same way that I want to encourage myself today, and that is, don't stop short of God's promise. I believe somebody is close to stopping short of God's promise. I believe somebody has been hit hard in recent times in your life and is designed to knock the promise out of your sight. It's designed to knock the belief out of your faith. It's designed to keep you in fear from moving forward to the fulfillment of God's promise for you. Today our text is going to come from Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, and some other verses in there. But I want to show you what had happened to the promise that God had given to the children of Israel. God had promised them that He had given to them every single city, and the first city on their hit list was Jericho. And Jericho was the most fortified city in the known world at that time. But you see, Jericho didn't belong to Jericho. Jericho belonged to the people of God because God had promised. Look at what it says. Now Jericho, and where you see the word Jericho, just go ahead and put the word God's promise. Now, God's promise, you see that? Jericho was God's promise. God's promise was tightly shut up, was tightly shut. You know, for some of you, that the promise that God has made to you has been shut. It's been closed. It is well walled, and you from what you see on the outside, you don't understand how you'll ever get to the inside of God's promise. Do I have a witness today? Now, Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, and no one came in. But look at what the Lord said. The Lord said to Joshua, see, that means look, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Somebody that has more time than I have or more ability than I have has counted all of the promises in the Bible. They have concluded that there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. Now, I don't know if that's plus one or minus one. I don't know if that's give or take. I can't challenge those numbers because I haven't counted to see every promise. But I can tell you this, God's made a whole bunch of promises in His Word. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, the first promise that God made was Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and He promised that He was going to put enmity between the woman and Satan and the serpent, and between the seed of the woman and the seed of serpent. And that promise is true. The last promise that God made in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, when He said, behold, I am coming quickly. Now that's a promise that we have seen, and that's a promise that we have embraced, but we haven't yet possessed it yet. Amen? But what I want to tell you today is, no matter what promise God has given you, don't stop short of the promise. There's somebody here today that's close to stopping short of the promise. Every promise that God has made is yes and amen. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 1 says about the promises of God. It says, for as many as are the promises of God. Somebody said 3,573. For as many as are the promises of God in Him, they are yes. Can somebody say yes? Whatever promise God has ever made you, whatever promise God has made me, it's yes, I will do that. When you were in your reading this week at the end of Joshua in chapter 23, He reminded them that every promise God has made you, He has fulfilled. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, for some of us, we're like Abraham. Abraham made him a promise of a city, and he told him to begin walking by faith toward that city. This city was a city whose foundations and had foundations and whose architect and builder was God. But your Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that Abraham, he did not receive that promise, but he saw that promise and he welcomed that promise from a distance. That means he didn't receive that promise before he drew his last breath on earth, but he'd already seen it by faith. He'd already embraced it by faith. And when he drew his last breath on this earth, he actually got to possess that promise. What I want to say to somebody today is, don't stop short of the promise God is making you. I believe that this room is filled with not only people, but with promises. I believe that every person in this room has a promise that God has made you, that you've seen, that you've embraced, but you haven't possessed it yet. Oh, does anybody understand what I'm saying today? There's a promise that God has made you, that you have heard the promise. Your spirit has welcomed that promise. You have embraced that promise. And that promise could be for a prodigal to come home to the Lord. That promise could be for a job that's going to come through. It could be for a promotion that's going to come to pass. It could be for healing that hasn't yet occurred, but God has promised you. God has promised you, and all of His promises are yes. And I'm telling you today, don't stop short of God's promise for you. The mountain that you climb may be steep, and the valley that you go down into may be deep. But every promise that God makes is yes, and it will come to pass. But why? Why do we get so discouraged? Why do we become so discouraged and distracted from the promise that God has made us? Would you like to know why? Well, here's the first reason. The first reason that people stop short of their promise is sometimes the problem can become bigger than the promise. Sometimes we stop short of the promise that God has for us because the problem becomes bigger than our promise. Do I have a witness already in the house today? Look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. And we see the promise, but we'll also see the problem. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Now sometimes what we don't see is that the enemies that are having our promise to themselves are actually more afraid of us than we are of them. And the enemies had heard of God. The enemy had heard the great things that God was doing. And they had gone in and they had gone on lockdown. They had shut themselves up, but they'd shut themselves up around God's promise. Now, what it is what we see doesn't always line up with what God has said. Can somebody say amen? Now, look at chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, the Lord said to Joshua, what's that three-letter word? See. Joshua, I want you to see. Now, what tense does he speak after that? I have already given. Jericho is already yours. The promise is already yours. I've already given it to you. But you see, the problem is what we see doesn't always line up with what God has said. And then when we begin to believe what we see over what God has said, then the problem becomes bigger than the promise. You know the healing that you need. And God has said that He will heal your sickness. He will heal your disease. But doctor's report after doctor's report, heartache after heartache says, see, you hadn't been healed yet. And your problem becomes bigger than God's promise. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about today? You see, I believe God has given me a promise that there's 70 men that He has already identified to pour His Spirit out on and to do His work through in partnership with me. But you know what the problem is? I don't see the 70 men yet. But the real challenge is the problem going to become bigger than the promise? Is what you see with your natural eye, is what you see with your physical eye going to cause you to want to live in the natural and operate from the natural? Or are you going to believe what God has said in the spiritual and what God is going to do in the supernatural? How about you? What are you struggling with today? What are you struggling believing that God has said because of what you see? You see, here the children of Israel, they have this promise. They have been through many things with God. They've seen a whole generation die in unbelief. They've seen a new generation rise up in belief. They have seen God give them their own miracle of crossing over the Jordan River. God, they have seen the miraculous take place, but now it's time to possess a promise that God has given them, but there's a problem standing between them and the promise. What problem standing between you and your promise? What problem is standing between you and possessing what God said you could have? And you know why that problem gets so big? It's because the enemy wants you to stop short of God's promise. The enemy wants you to stop short of what God has promised you to have, because who knows if the next step you might take might actually put the promise in your hand. Who knows if the next step you take might put you in the contact with a person who's going to give you that job. Who knows if the next step you take isn't going to bring the money that you've been waiting on in order to realize your dreams. Who knows that? Don't stop short of your promise is what the Lord is telling us in this great truth today. Can somebody say, I'm not going to stop short? Why do we stop short? We stop short because the problem becomes bigger than the promise. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? You trying to believe God for that prodigal to come to the Lord. You're trying to believe God for that addiction to be broken. You're trying to believe God for that hard-hearted boss to get saved and get right with God. You're trying to believe God for the impossible. I want to tell you, don't let the problem be bigger than the promise that God's given to you. Hey, I want to tell you, it's okay to be real in here. I mean, you don't have to be religious in here. I mean, all of us have got problems. Anybody here not got a problem? Anybody here not got a big problem? I got a few, I'll loan you if you need one. But I believe you got big problems and I got big problems. But together, we come together in unity. We're united. We got problems. But oh my goodness, we're not going to let the problem stay bigger than our promise. Amen? God is a problem-solving God. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And guess what? Every problem will bow to the sovereignty of Almighty God. Give Him praise and thanksgiving for the problem bowing in his mind. But how many of you know that God always has a plan for your promise? God always has a plan that He wants you to follow in order to possess the promise. And the reason that we sometimes stop short of the promise is because the problem gets bigger than the promise for a season. But another reason that people stop short of their promise, or another reason that compounds here, is because the plan that God has is offensive to our senses. Oh my goodness, they preached to me a while, Pastor. Sometimes the plan that God wants to use to get your promise fulfilled offends your senses and offends my senses. Oh my goodness, how much more offensive could it have been than the plan that God had for giving Jericho into their hand? Look at chapter 6, verse 3. All right, verse 2, remember what verse 2 was? God spoke in past tense. See this fortified city? See this big problem? See this shut-in promise? See, I have given this into your hand this day, Joshua. All right, let's go. Let's do it. So here's the plan, Joshua. I want you to get a marching band together. And I want you to get the men of war. All right, the men of war. And I want you all to circle that city once. Oh, yes, we're going to intimidate them into retreat. And I want you to do this for how many days? 6 days. Now, you hang on to that, because Joshua's the only one who knows how long they're going to be marching. Joshua's the only one that knows how long they're going to be marching. And verse 7, so Joshua then, he says, all right, that's not the way I planned it, Lord. That's not the way I do it. How many of you ever said that to the Lord? Lord, I don't know. I wouldn't have done it that way if I were you, Lord. Now, you're not trying to be offensive to God. You're not trying to be disrespectful to God. You're just trying to remind him how offensive this is to you. Lord, are you sure that this is the way you bring that promise to me? Lord, is that you sure this is the... I'm pretty sure. In verse 7, then Joshua said to the people, here it is. God said, we have this city. This city belongs to us. He's already given it to us. All right, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to march. We're going to march around the city. We're going to let the armed men, we're going to let the warriors, we're going to let the valiant soldiers, we're going to let the military, we're going to let the Navy SEALs, we're going to let the Army Rangers, we're going to let the elite of the elite, we're going to let them go first. And what are they going to be doing? They're going to be marching too. Sometimes the way that God wants to give you his promise involves a plan that's very offensive to your senses. Then Joshua said to the people, go forward. March around the city and let armed men go before the ark of the Lord. But it gets worse in verse 10. In verse 10, Joshua commanded people, saying, all right, now when you're marching, you can't let your voice be heard at all. You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth. Now, somebody said that's how they knew there wasn't any women in this marching band. I didn't say that. I'm just repeating that. I'm being strong and courageous today. My wife's not here. but I digress and deeply. You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth. Oh, my goodness. You know, when your senses or my senses have been offended, you know what the hardest thing is to do? Keep your mouth shut. The hardest thing to do when things don't make sense to you, and you got a promise, but your problem's becoming bigger than your promise, and the plan that God has given you for attaining this promise is offensive to your common sense, one of the hardest thing in order to do is shut up and march. And that's what God said, shut up and march. Shut up and walk. You know, sometimes if you're walking and you're talking, you'll talk yourself out of the way you're walking. All right? And so sometimes the best thing to do is to be quiet and to keep your mouth shut and keep believing the promise that God has given you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh, my goodness. Now, don't you think there were some rowdy pagans in Jericho that saw these soldiers, these mighty warriors, these valiant men marching and not saying a word? I'm quite sure there had been at least one rowdy pagan that just couldn't help but hurl an insult at them. I'm quite sure that there's at least one rowdy pagan inside Jericho that said, look at that pitiful band. And if they were too scared to say anything, I know the demon spirits were yelling. I know the demon spirits were taunting. And every time God's got you walking by faith towards your promise, the demon spirit's going to be there telling you this won't work. This won't work. This won't work. And God's told you not to even say a word to them. Don't say a word. Don't let your voice be heard. Don't let your voice be heard. You just let your actions show what I've told you to do. just keep on walking. You know, there's some times that we stop short of the promise that God's given us because the problem gets bigger than the promise. But other times, the plan for solving that problem offends our senses. Now, we're tempted to stop short of God's promise because of the problem bigger than the promise and the plan offensive to the senses. But here's a big one to me. Sometimes we are tempted to stop short of God's promise because the progress can be withheld from our vision. Sometimes the progress we're making towards that promise can be withheld from our vision. Look at this. Now, the Bible says in verse 14, "Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did this for 6 days." But you know, Joshua, as I told you a while ago, never told them how many days you're going to march. How many days before the promise is going to be yours? All they knew was the first day Joshua comes, he assembles the priest, he assembles the valiant soldiers and the mighty men of war around there and said, "Boys, we're going to take that city." Yes, yes, hallelujah, yes, let's go. So march. And while you're marching, don't say a word. Can you imagine what it was like for that valiant warrior that first day when he got up that morning? And his wife asked him, said, "Honey, where are you going?" "Oh, we're going to take the city today." "Oh, my goodness, be safe. I look forward when you come back." Well, in just a couple of hours, he comes back. There's no blood on him. You know, there's no sweat or perspiration on him like that. He said, "What'd y'all do today?" Well, Joshua, he thought we needed some scout team today. We was on the scout team. And we went out and scouted out this territory. Well, okay. There wasn't any arrows flown. There wasn't any sword swung. No, we just marched today. Okay. Well, the second day, he gets up. He gets dressed for battle. "Oh, you going out to battle today?" "Yes, I'm going out to battle today." "Or you going on to kill some of those people?" Yeah. So we go out. He comes back another hour or two later. There's no blood on his sword. There's no sweat on his person, and his armor's still shiny. Well, what'd you do today? Well, we marched again today. And you see, every day they did this. The first day they did it. The second day they did it. The third day they did it. And not a single brick ever fell from that wall. Not a single sign that they were close to possessing that city. You know, that's the way life often is for you and for me, is that we walk and we walk and we walk, but we don't see any progress. We believe and we believe and we believe and we believe, but we don't see any progress toward possessing. Now don't sit there like you don't ever get into those. Anybody ever prayed and prayed and prayed and no sign that this prayer is being answered? Anybody ever trusted and trusted and trusted what God has said and you don't see any evidence that you're close to having what God said you could have? Anybody ever got frustrated? Anybody ever got tired? And anybody said, I'm just not praying anymore. I'm just not giving anymore. I'm just not serving anymore. Why do we do that? Because the promise is right out there before you, but the problem gets bigger than our promise. The plan has offended our senses, but the progress has intentionally been held from our vision. Because if you could see the progress you're making, you wouldn't be walking by faith. Come on now. Come on. If you could see the progress you're always making, you wouldn't need any faith. You could walk by sight. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith in what God has said. Now, how many of you know that faith is not a feeling? You can't walk by feeling. Your feelings are going to change any number of times during the day, but what God has said is what God has said. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He's true to what he said, and his word is true to what you heard. Amen? And so our progress gets withheld from our vision. Now, I don't know about you, but when I exercise, when I exercised on the machine that I exercise on, it you can program a program. And you can tell it how many minutes you want to do this for. Now, on this machine that I exercise on, it's got several indicators on it. And one of them will tell you either how many laps you've gone, how many miles you've gone, how many steps you've gone. That's not that interesting to me. What's interesting to me is how much more do I have to go? How much longer do I have to go through this? How much longer do I have to stay on this machine? How much longer before I can get off of this machine right there? And sometimes that's the way the problem is. Sometimes that's the way the promise is. God has intentionally kept you from knowing how much longer you've got to go. And he didn't even let them know. He let them know how many laps they'd taken if they wanted to count. We took a lap today. Say, we took a lap today. We took a lap today. How many times do you come back home and tell your wife, we took a lap today? What else did you do? We took a lap today. We took a lap today. Well, how many more laps you got today? Woman, not a word. We don't know, and that's part of the frustration, is that we don't always see the progress we're making. We don't always see how close the finish line is. We don't always see how close the promise is to being fulfilled. And why is that? It's twofold. Is the devil's doing that. He's putting that big problem in front of you. He's offending your senses with that because he knows that if you ever get to the finish line, you're never going to be the same again when you've got that promise, when you've got that breakthrough. And so the enemy's trying to get you to stop short of God's promise. But God has another reason for it. And God's reason's better. God doesn't let you always see the progress you're making because God is preparing something in you for what he's about to give you. God is doing in you the work is necessary so he can entrust what he's doing for you. How many of you know that the person you are is really not able to handle the grace that God wants to give you, the authority that God wants to give you, the blessing that God wants to give you? You know that if God's goal was to get you from hell to heaven, he'd take you straight to heaven when he got you out of hell. But God's got far more for you. He's doing more in you because he's got so much more for you. And we've got to be willing to do that. And so when you watch your sports, you know, what's exciting to me, we're in March Madness now, right? I don't get all that excited in the first half because very few games are won in the first half. In fact, none of them are won in the first half. Some of them are lost in the first half, but they're not won in the first half. But, oh, my goodness, don't you like when they get down to the last 3 minutes? They get down to the last 2 minutes. They get down inside of 1 minute. And now the new clocks they've got, they've not only got the seconds, they've got the tenths. You know, there's 57.3 seconds left, and somebody's going to win this game. There's 29.7 seconds. There's 13.4 seconds. There's 6.6 seconds. And then a referee blows a charging call. NASCAR. They'll start the race. There's 500 miles to go. I'm not that excited after the engines have revved up and they've gotten out the first time with 500 miles to go. I get excited when they get their first pit stop. I get excited when they get, but what really happens when they've got, there's 70 more laps to go. But life's not like that. You don't know how many more laps you've got. You don't know how many more steps you've got. You don't know how close you are to that being fulfilled. Why? Because the progress is being withheld from your vision. And the devil wants you to stop short of your vision. Amen? Now it says in our Bible that they were to march 6 days. Now, do you think that there might be some reason why they had to march 6 days and still not have their promise? Still not have their miracle? Well, as you know, six days is the number for man. 6 days is the number for the strength of man. It's what man can do in his own strength. And so God let them march 6 consecutive days in their own strength, and not a single brick had fallen from the wall. Now, 6 is the number of man. 6 is the number of man's strength and man's ability. 6 is also the number of Antichrist. 666. And the Antichrist has a mark. It has an identifier. It has what is the mark of the beast? Some said it's the iPhone. We've only got 5. The next one's 6. Now, I don't know. That fingerprint technology, you know, that you're not going to get in it without your fingerprint. Now, that's something. Just saying. I've got an iPhone 4 myself. I'm behind the times. But God wants us sometimes to walk out our strength and let us see that what I'm about to do for you didn't happen because of you. Because God wants us to have what He has, because there'll be no doubt once you get inside of it who did this for you. God wants you to know, because on the seventh day, somebody say the seventh day. That's the number for God. See, God has to get us to the end of our strength. God has to get us to the end of our ability in order for us to see what He can do. Amen? If you could fulfill that promise that God made to you, God didn't fulfill that promise to you. That God didn't make that promise to you. When you get to the place where your problem is bigger than your promise, God said, I've got your promise right here for you. When the plan offends your senses, God said, don't let my ways offend your ways, because my ways are higher than your ways. My ways are better than your ways. And God says He does not want us to focus on it working as much as He wants us to know He is working in us. Amen? Two principles that you need to always remember. Just write it down right now. Outcome is God's responsibility. Outcome is God's responsibility. And here's the second thing. Obedience is my responsibility. How it turns out, how God fulfills it, that's all on Him. But what God tells me to do is what I'm responsible to do. And God said to walk. 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 I'll tell you when to shout. And when I tell you to shout, you won't need to walk anymore, other than to go in and claim your promise. Amen? So outcome is God's responsibility, but obedience is our responsibility. Somebody say, amen. Now, number 4, the problem is bigger than our promise. We want to stop walking. The plan is offensive to our senses, so we want to stop short of the promise. The progress is withheld from our vision, so we're tempted to stop short of the promise. But number 4, get this one now. The process requires an open-ended perspective. The process requires an open-ended perspective. There are times when we wonder how much longer we're going to have to walk around these walls. How much longer am I going to have to keep praying? How much longer am I going to have to keep believing? How much longer am I going to have to keep trusting? How much longer am I going to have to keep singing? How much longer am I going to have to keep serving? How much longer am I going to have to do this? You see, the enemy wants you to get so bound up that you think that your promise is shut up so tightly, there's no way you're ever going to experience it, and you get all depressed, you get all discouraged, you get all defeated, and you say, I'm just quitting, I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home. That's when the devil's got you. But God's saying, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Now, is there anybody within the sound of my voice and you're being tempted to quit believing? You're being tempted to quit walking towards your promise? Anyone within the sight of my face that's being tempted to quit walking with the Lord and go back to the old way of life? What's God's word to you today? Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give in. Don't stop. Don't quit. But this is the sixth day, and I've walked, and I've walked, and I've walked, and I've not seen any sign of the victory. I've not seen any sign of the defeat. I've not seen any sign of the conquest. I've not seen any sign of the promise. I don't think I'm any closer today than I ever was before. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. And God's saying, you keep walking. Why? Because this might be the time when God tells you to shout. This might be the day when God tells you to blow the trumpet. This might be the day when God says, look unto the hills, here comes your help. Look unto the hills, here comes the Lord riding on his white horse. Look unto the hills, because your deliverance is now available for you. Why do we have to walk in circles? Why do we have to walk in circles? Well, God is preparing me for what he has prepared for me. Can anybody say amen? The me that I am right now is not really able to handle what God has prepared for me and that I am becoming. And the reason we walk in circles is not only because God's preparing me for what he has prepared for me, but get this one. When you get inside of your promise, God wants everybody to know who got you there. You see, everybody's seen you walking in circles for 6 days. Everybody's seen you go back home discouraged and no clear and how soon you're going to get there. Everybody's seen that you've come to the end of your strength. Everybody's come to see you the end of your hope. Everybody's seen you come to the end of your common senses. Everybody's seen your senses get offended. Everybody's seen all of that, but when you're standing with your promise, and you're waving it before your enemy, and you're stomping over his neck, and you are walking the walk of victory in Jesus, everybody would know that they didn't do that on their own. God did that for them. God delivered them from that. God healed them from that. God gave them that job. God gave them that breakthrough. God gave them that promotion. God gave them that increase. Can anybody say amen? Amen. The walls never fall down on the sixth day. The walls only fall down on the seventh day. You know what would be a shame? It would be a shame today for somebody to quit on the sixth day. It'd be a shame for somebody to quit on your sixth day when you were so close to God fulfilling his promise on the next lap. Oh my goodness, is anybody willing to keep marching today? Is there anybody willing to keep believing today? Anybody believing that if God has said it, it will happen? But what if it's not the next lap? What if this isn't the sixth lap? What if this is the third lap? What if the promise isn't fulfilled today? Well, here's some advice for you. Even if this is not the last lap, then you keep on walking. You need to act as if every lap is the last lap. Act as if every lap is the last lap, and guess what? One day you're going to be right. One day you're going to be right if you believe this could be the last lap. This could be the day that God breaks through. This could be the day that God gives me what He's promised to me. This could be that day. You know, I was running in a race one time, and I had really not prepared to run that race. But when race day came, I wanted to be in the race. And I said, yeah, I'll run that race. Man, I hadn't been gone 200 yards out of the starting line until I read, what in the world were you thinking? It was a 5K, 3.2 miles. And I hadn't even got to the first mile marker yet. My lungs were done cleaned out. My side was piercing through. And I had lost bearings of my markers. I wasn't familiar with that particular course. You know, you begin to look around you, and you see, oh my, and I tell Marie this all the time, that when you run, when you ride a bike, you look at topography a whole lot differently than you do when you ride in a car. What looks like a little slope in a car, that's a mountain when you're running or riding a bicycle. And man, when your lungs are already burning and your side's already caving in, and all you see is, oh my goodness, I got that Mount Everest coming up before me right here. Oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And I was in one of those times, but the lungs, I knew that the breathing would calm down one day. Either I'd die or you'd regulate. I knew that I'd eventually get enough air in those lungs to keep the side from hurting as bad as it was. But then the shin splints came. And the shin splints came, and there's just not a lot you can do when you got shin splints. Oh, if you've never had those, say thank God. And if you've ever had those and you try to do anything with shin splints, you know you just can't hardly go forward. And you know what I did? I conquered that hill. And you know, if you go up a hill, you get to go down a hill. But you know there's going to be another hill. And now on the way down that hill, with the thoughts of another hill there, not knowing how much farther I've got to go, no bearings of the time, what I did was what I'd only done one time, is I quit. I quit. I thought at the time it was a wise decision because it's better than death. My problem was bigger than my promise. But you know what? I was so sad. I kept walking. I kept walking. My lungs quit burning. My side quit hurting. And my shins quit aching. And then one day, it seemed like a day, a little while later, I got towards the finish line. And all of the people, if you've ever been in a race, a 5K, a 10K, or marathon, at the finish line, the people are there to cheer you on. But there I was. They were there to cheer. They were there to welcome me there. But I knew I'd quit. And now I'm walking instead of running to the finish line. I wonder who it is today that you're being tempted today to quit, to turn around, to stop running. Don't quit. Don't quit. I wonder who it is that you don't know if you're any closer today to the fulfillment of that promise that God's given you than you were when you first got it. Don't quit. Don't quit. God's not letting you see the progress, but the seventh day's coming. The seventh day's coming, and God's going to tell you to shout. You know what happens when you get to shout, when God tells you to shout? The walls fall down. The walls crumble and disintegrate. They didn't fall down to the inside. They didn't fall down to the outside. Those walls disintegrated. They disintegrated straight down into powder. And what they got to do is they got to take the first step over that problem that was so big, and they stepped right inside, and they got their promise. What God had said in verse 2 was realized for them later on. I have already given you this city. Its king is yours, and all of its plunder is mine. You've taken this, at my command. Amen? I'm going to ask you today, would you stand up with me? Would you stand up with me? You've been sitting and you've not been any closer in your mind to the promise. I think everybody's got in their mind, I've asked the Lord to give to your mind the promise or the promises that you've not yet possessed. Maybe it's a son or a daughter coming to Jesus. Maybe it's a stronghold coming down. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a deliverance from oppression. Maybe it's a deliverance from depression or oppression. Don't quit walking. Don't quit. Maybe it's the job. Maybe it's the promotion. Maybe it's your own business. Maybe it's the prosperity of spirit and body and soul. Maybe it's the joy of the Lord. Whatever it is, don't quit.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.